Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. We finally come to the last chapter of healthcare marketing. And this chapter is kind of more of an information rather than what we discussed in the earlier chapters till 8 about what we spoke about, the plan, the implementation, the digital marketing, the SWOT, the RACI, all these templates. But this is more of an information. And what's the future of healthcare marketing and its delivery? And we will try to quickly sum it up in the next 30 minutes or so. The reason I say it's an information because this will give you the understanding if you're a healthcare marketing professional and what you need to work on, what are the AI landscapes that's happening. That is the key idea. Now, since the last chapter, and before I go forward with it, I would like to also give a big thank you for listening to me for the last 8 chapters. I've tried to be as example oriented as possible. Not always you get the time to, you know, declare everything in these videos, but this also gives you an opportunity to work with what are the models I've said, and you can pause in between and you can go to the Google and type in all those matrices to get more further details. Because knowledge is essential in healthcare marketing. So with that note, once again, thank you for the last 8 chapters. Welcome to chapter 9. Now, to be honest with you, a decade ago, our healthcare sector was typically driven by product. You know, we give you this kind of treatment, we give you that kind of treatment, we provide this kind of clinical trials, we provide this, the pathology labs were different, there were medicine shops outside the hospital. But the healthcare sector is transforming. It's undergoing a rapid change. It's driven by technology. It's driven by patient experience and expectations. And most importantly, it is driven by new business models. Now, when I say new business models, what I try to intend out here is, does it mean that the old business models are not functionable at this level? No, it's there, but they are also changing from that perspective. The marketing and service delivery are becoming deeply interconnected. I mean, initially the service delivery and the marketing did work together, but at some point of time there was a defined path for these two segments. But today, why only marketing and service? I mean, even the internal training programs, the finance, the IT, the systems, the HR, to the tune of the legal and the clinical or the medical group is also interconnected. But mostly it's marketing and service delivery. That's what they check it. Patient journeys are now starting from the awareness stage. You know, initially it was more of diagnosis and treatment, and if that need be, to ongoing treatment. But now the journey starts from awareness, taking them to a diagnosis with treatment and ongoing treatment. And also in all those touch points, what is the customer experience and expectations? Are they matched or not? The most important thing is those organizations who are willing to change must prepare for future shifts to take competitive, because the world is going to be very, very competitive in the healthcare sector and all these things. And as I said, by 2030, the healthcare industry itself is going to be a $53 billion market, which is huge from a financial standpoint. Now, why preparing for you for the future matters? I mean, what's in it for you? So you're ready on the planning when the present need are there, the organization stagnation happens. You should be ready for the new technologies and regulations that will reshape how care is delivered and marketed. Patients increasingly expect personalized, transparent, and accessible care. Early adopters gain a strategic advantage than a stronger brand trust. Now, if you look at the evolution of healthcare marketing, I mean, in the initial 1990s, it was more of a traditional marketing, you know, limited access, brochure, newspaper ads, health camps was most. In those days, I still remember the polio vaccination used to happen at a school on a Saturday and Sunday. So it's more of a traditional marketing. The early 2000s saw the first change or the makeover into a digital landscape. So, you know, a basic website came up, email newsletters starting cropping up in your email inbox, digital outreach started, the EMRs and the HR system started popping up. And from the early 2000 to the late 2000, and I mean, it is more of a social media conglomerate. The hospital started using the social media for various campaigns, Facebook ads, you know, patient forums and all these things. Today, I think every hospital has a Facebook page or they have an Instagram account for the social media. From the late 2000 to the early 2010s, it was a rise of a data-driven healthcare. You know, it was data starting to tell stories. It was more of a personalized marketing and predictive outreach. Most commonly, it was integrated patient experience platforms. Post 2010 and the pandemic, so that's 2020, for a 10 years period, the telehealth boom started. I mean, because COVID-19 had restrictions that you cannot walk into a doctor, you cannot do anything or go to a hospital, so they started using various consultation mediums. Initially, I remember it was WhatsApp video for a call. Later, all the hospitals was given a directive to install, you know, telecommunication platform, whether it was Zoom, whether it was GoToMeeting. Some hospital used Teams for communication, and they started using that. And remote monitoring devices also came into the picture. Till now, I mean, we're in 2025. We are almost in 2025 now. The AI has come up. AI chatbots from narrow AI to an adaptive AI. Now, agentic AI is also coming to the foray. The LLMs are coming into the foray. So you can use a ChatGPT for a search on the symptoms that you have. You can also do a diagnostic understanding of what to do next. It will give you an entire thing. So it's more of a targeted outreach. It's a real-time patient feedback system that is happening. So if you look at the evolution from a traditional marketing to a digital marketing to an AI-based marketing, that's what the future holds up. Now, if you know all of this, you know how to plan your marketing in healthcare industry. Now, what is reshaping the healthcare marketing? I mean, there are certain trends, there are certain patterns which is going. The biggest thing I have experienced when I spoke to various doctors, the hospital authorities, all the healthcare industry experts, they say, you know, Gabriel, the patient expectations is rising. I mean, they are looking at of the same experience that they go to a hotel or an aviation or a retail outlet or to a certain extent restaurants. The service that is given, they're trying to compare everything with retail-like experiences. They're looking for convenience more and more of clarity. I personally believe that this is that one driver that will reshape the healthcare industry to more of user experience, or rather patient experience. The second is the technology acceleration. I don't have a percentage figure between these three. But AI, predictive analytics, digital health platforms is getting more and more accessible towards the end users, which are the patients. Apple has a health app. If you're using Android, they also have their own health app. There are multiple health apps which you figured out doing that. And the third thing is the industry structures. You know, initially it was only the hospital. I mean, the pharma, the insurance, and the tech are used to work in different patterns. Now they are focusing on merging the entire system. So a pharma company and a hospital is tying up, or the insurers and the service providers are getting tied up. Even the tech is getting, merged to it. What this means is these trends are merging marketing and deliver into one seamless experience. So please understand, when you're defining anything, when you're restructuring your marketing thought, when you're restructuring your marketing plan, you have to remember these three things. And the most important is the second one, the patient expectations. Now, it has come to a point where there is an omni-channel engagement is the new standard. I mean, that's not one single channel. You know, Apollo Hospitals AI tried chatbot plus unified online to clinic experience. So they're now getting merged in that way. So patients interact across multiple touch points, YouTube, website, webinars, call center, walk-ins. Future marketing requires integrated online and offline experiences. Centralized systems ensure continuity even when patients switch channels. And most importantly, it builds trust, strengthens recall, and increases conversions. AI-driven personalization. See, AI is getting into behavioral analogy, history, understanding the demography to create meaningful personalized messages. I mean, maybe using agentic AI, the hospitals or the healthcare industry might create those personal messages sending to them. Maybe the SMS and email marketings also create a trigger in the future. Precise reminders, risk-based targeting, channel timing optimization, and it's tailored. It's not a generic marketing. For example, Practo suggests preventive checkups based on search and consultation patterns. The way you're consulting, the data is gathered and they're putting into an AI bot, and that is what it's suggesting. If you look at the AI-driven healthcare marketing, the future is now. It starts with the behavioral mapping. I mean, personalizing content based on the patient actions or their way they're consulting things. Second is their understanding of the smart budgeting, where you're using various predictive tools and AI powered to spend optimization. Then it becomes the content. Then it goes to the real time adjustments. Then it goes to the patient retention, 24/7 engagement. It also looks at predictive insights. It also takes care of the seamless integration. Then it goes to automated follow-ups. And finally, it goes to the data-driven way of doing it. Now, these are all happening in few places. Not everybody is able to implement AI, but I have a big feeling that going forward, this might become very popular, and you know, conducting this becomes AI-driven everything. You must be aware of what is going on. You must be aware how AI is using behavioral mapping, you know, to personalize content. You might use that as a tool. You might also get into patient retention, utilizing AI to foster long-term patient engagement programs. You might use AI for a 24/7 engagement. You know, you can use a predictive insight, a forecasting trend, you know, to more intelligent decision-making system. So you have to use some of these tools to create your marketing plan. Now, if there is a future shift of a marketing trend, if there is a future shift of the industry, then definitely the future shift is also focusing on value and wellness. Now, from volume to value is the first thought process. So you have to understand that today's patient expectation is not just the health outcome. It's not just an appointment numbers. I mean, it's treatment adherence, it's retention, it's patient satisfaction. So every marketing indicators or performance indicators success will be focusing on how satisfied are your patient, whether it's a clinical treatment, whether it's a normal treatment, whether it's a simple hospitalization for 3 days for a checkup, how good are we with the retention and treatment adherence. So all this are from volume to value. The second one is preventive and wellness-driven marketing. So as I said, the keyword prevention is better than cure. So, you know, Fortis tracks a follow-up completion. Max Healthcare markets wellness and memberships and preventive care plans. And if I'm being honest enough and not speculating, so there are various wellness memberships that happens. If you do this, then you get 1, 2, 3, 4 as a membership and a preventive care plans. So what your campaign should have or increasingly highlight: the screenings, the lifestyle coaching, the vaccinations, and most importantly, the mental health. Once again, preventive and wellness-driven marketing. The future is shifting towards a more flexible and interconnected patient-centric systems. If I go back to the initial chapter, I said it was a product focused, then it was sales focused, then it was process, now it is patient-centric systems. Care is no longer limited to hospital visits. There are multiple other channels and partners are now shaping those accessible things to them. New ecosystems influence how care is organized, financed, and experienced. And most importantly, its focus is on convenience, which may lead to continuity and personalized pathways. There is a rise of hybrid care models. So for example, patient might receive a mix of telehealth and in-person services. Telehealth improves access for rural, elderly, and mobility-limited patients. In-person visits remain essential for diagnostic and procedures. Some diagnostic procedures like blood test and other tests are being done still at the home care. Hybrid care also plan, for example, virtual monthly check-ins plus quarterly physical assessments. You know, so virtual and physical getting integrated. What it's doing is it leads to higher efficiency and better patient outcome. Now, if you look at, I mean, if I try to recollect the entire 9 chapters, which I'll do at the end, and I'll try to do a follow-up with what are the key aspects or the 5 or 6 key takeaway points that will kind of give you an edge over the others. Again, community-based care camps are happening. There is a tie-up with the local clinics, the mobile health units, the pharmacies. They are also trying to work on the preventive care system, the follow-ups, and the early diagnosis is closer to home. You don't have to go further from your home. It reduces load on large hospitals and builds trusted local relationships. A simple example is primary health centers, Jan Aushadhi Kendras in India. I mean, nobody thought before COVID, but today we have a Jan Aushadhi Kendras in India. We have generic medicine stores, which where you get medicines at a cheaper rate. I mean, not at the typical what the market rate, what the company offers. So, you know, there is a community brewing up on all these things with local clinics. New partnerships. Insurance, initially, if you walk into a hospital, initially, the cashless was not a big option. So if you still had an insurance for your company or a third party provider, what used to happen is you used to pay the bills, you used to take the bills, then you used to send them to the company to get a reimbursement. Today, there is some differential. You walk into a hospital, the first question they ask you, do you have a health insurance? If you have a health insurance, then there are packages that are different and the tech companies are collaborating. It also creates an integrated ecosystem with shared data and coordinated care. Enables models like device-based monitoring, checkups, and insurance on one platform. It also has increasingly traversed across borders for specialized and affordable treatment. So, for example, South Chennai is one of the best places for eye treatment. I mean, people go there. Countries like India, Thailand, and Turkey are major destinations for healthcare systems. Digital tools support virtual pre-consults and remote follow-up. It drives global collaborations, skill exchanges, and research partnerships. One of the important points is the medical tourism market is growing rapidly on a CAGR of 12%, and the movement from 24 to 25 is 12%. Imagine what will happen by 2030, where the market size is going to be around $53 billion. That's huge, huge, huge. So please be aware. So, for example, initially, I never knew that you have to take a health insurance if you're flying abroad. Today, it's a primary reason for getting a visa. If you have a health insurance that can take care of if you fall sick in the European countries or any other travel destinations. When I say digital health, I mean, digital health is something like it's a coordination between. So there are three systems of a triangle. So there is the patient at the center of it. Then there is the clinicians or the doctors, and then there are the systems. Now, systems is a bridge between the patients and clinicians. So it supports a seamless coordination between these three. It also helps the shifting of healthcare from an episodic treatment to a long-term prevention. What is episodic treatment? It's nothing but when the episode happens, the treatment happens. Now they're moving into a long-term prevention. It improves access and reduces delays. System costs are lower than before. It enhances care quality through real-time insights and faster decision-making. Makes healthcare more proactive, personalized, and continuous. Digital health combines technology, data, and connectivity to transform care delivery. That's what the digital health is all about. Now, there are a lot of remote monitoring and wearables are coming up. So there are IoT devices that tracks vitals, sleep, physical activity. There are multiple devices that helps clinicians intervene before complications escalate. It reduces unnecessary hospital visits and supports at-home recovery. It enables for early detection of issues, abnormal heart rhythms. The proven impact is remote monitoring have cut cancer patient hospitalizations from 13% to 2.8%. And that's not a less figure. A reduction of almost 10.2%. Imagine a 10.2% reduction in cancer patient hospitalizations because of an early treatment of remote monitoring or wearables. Now, what are these, the remote monitoring and wearables? If you see on the left-hand side on the chest, it's ECG patches. That's what you can do. What are the ECG patches do? They take care of the pacemakers and implanted cardio. Distribute defibrillators, it's also wearable cardiovascular defibrillators and Holter monitors. The other one which comes here is wearable spirometers. Then on the right hand side, you have the glucose monitors. On the watch today, Apple Watch detects a heartbeat. I was listening to one of the case study in US or UK, I do not recall which country it was. A person was having, so you know, in heart attack also there is various stages. One is a preliminary heart attack, or what we call in a doctory jargon is a primary attack, or it was a lower attack, not a fatal attack. So the watch detects that and checks the blood pressure, checks the oxygen saturation, and the pulse monitoring sensors are there. You know, this takes care of everything, the body temperature and actively trotting sensors. I was looking at a friend's Apple Watch, and it says you have sat for too long, you need to stand up and walk. You know, I mean, it might not be everyone, but there. On here, you use insulin pumps, you know. Then you have the tennis therapy devices at a knee. On the right side, if you see, it's a range of motion assessment sensors. And then you have smart gloves. I mean, who knows? This is just a few to start about. Going forward, a mental health also can be happening through that patchable devices. The AI, the predictive analytics, and the digital therapeutics. See, guys, AI. So what's the difference between a normal? What happens is when you're not using AI, I mean, your cognition, your thought process is still the same, but your processing speed is slow. Our human brain can process only, that's what they say, around 1 KB of data at a point of time, if I put it into technical perspective. But AI says it gets into rapid scan of radiological images and anomaly detection and faster reporting. Your AI watch is doing the same, the Apple Watch. AI is also used in predictive analytics, anticipates, you know, deterioration, identifies the high-risk individuals early. The mHealth apps or the mobile health apps is a booming market. The projected USD is $18 billion by 2027, 45% annual growth. The digital therapeutics, software-based treatments, virtual rehab, chronic care pathways, it's huge. And AI is not only doing that, but it is tailoring the entire recommended-based lifestyle on genetics and EMR data. Suppose personalized care plans that improve adherence and outcomes. It is expanding through mobile health, you know, the apps, SMS reminder, the teleconsultations, the bridal rural urban gaps, portable diagnostic centers, telemedicine enablers, quality cares. One of the biggest examples in India is eSanjeevani, with millions of remote consultations, the ABDM or the AVA IDs for paperless and connected records. Did you think 10 years back? Or pre-COVID, the answer is no. Today we are there. It is bringing diagnostic specialist access to villages. You don't have a village guy. Maybe there is a chronic illness and the village guy has to accumulate all the funds and just to speak to a doctor has to, you know, travel maybe 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers to reach a city for a good diagnostics. Now that mobile health van is bringing diagnostics and specialist access to villages. You don't have to go anywhere. Just walk into the mobile health van and you can do the diagnostics. It reduces travel burden for patients with chronic or mobility challenges, you know, and it strengthens primary care and continuity, undeserved regions, the deep pocket rural areas. The leaders also must blend into the healthcare expertise with digital data and patient-centric thinking. You cannot think I am the best product so people will come in. No. Similarly, marketing is also connected with technology operations and clinical functions. So the success factor here is requiring the teams through transformation and constant innovation and collaboration. And the leadership has to focus its shifts from campaigns to fully integrated future-ready systems. You cannot just work on one single campaign. It has to be connected with patient expectations, clinical expectations, legality, you know, regulations, everything. Cross-functional data literacy and ethical leadership. You know, leaders must unite marketing, IT, clinicians, and operations and service to deliver campaigns. You have to build KPIs that they should understand. You should build attribution models that these understand by your teams. You should build dashboards and biases to enable faster and insight-driven decisions. Leaders must embed consent and transparency and sensitivity early in campaign planning, especially when using AI or patient data. It's sensitive and it's regulatory. You must be agile. You must encourage continuous learning by training. Even training workshops are getting through AI these days. I mean, you know, AI is connecting all these things together and creating something. I'm told that SuccessFactors, one of the largest LMS providers in the country, is using AI to create learning path for various, you know, departments, whether it's IT, whether it's finance, whether it's marketing. You have to create teams that can pivot quickly from shifting channel strategy to realigning messaging. And you have to come by empathy. Empathy is becoming a keyword with innovation and the trust while driving the growth patterns. So the leaders must embrace the rapid iteration, the change on patient needs and care, the tech trends need and implementation, and the regulatory evolving. The quick wins, what is happening, GA4 upskilling, training teams to track multi-touch journeys and link online for offline conversions, multilingual telehealth campaigns, regional language promotion boosting, you know, adoption outside metros, bi-weekly data huddles, joint reviews with marketing, clinician and ops team, which improves alignment. Low-cost creative testing, you know, small A-B tests on social media to validate concepts before scaling. Even if you're AI, I mean, if you go to AI or the Apple Watch that you wear, there is an entire guided outline of how do you check your heartbeat, your blood pressure, your heart rate and everything. They're using micropilots, which is actually a geo-targeted niche campaign for vaccination drives, and it is tested before nationwide rollout. So you are actually testing everything before it is actual rollout. So there are less amount of errors and more of patient experience being there. What is the outlook for 2030? What is the bigger picture? See, as we have all said during this 9 chapters, that the India's digital health market will rise from $14.33 billion in 2024 to $15.40 billion US dollars in 2030 with a 24.4% CAGR. It's almost 3 times, 4 times, whichever you want to look at. You know, the growth is driven by telehealth, wearable monitoring, AI diagnostics, and integrated patients engagement. By 2030, India could reach 1 billion digital health users. 1 billion. Amount of marketing cost all increases. Technology will redefine marketing, patient experience, and competition. That's the bigger outlook. That's the big picture that we are looking at. And what are the possible phases? Now, what are the best and the worst and the most likely supposed to be happening? That's what the possible future looks like. So in the best case scenario, you will have a fully integrated digital ecosystem where you will be combining the entire EMRs, the telehealth and the wearables and the in-person care. You will create hyper-personalized marketing, which is very, very personalized, and preventing care as a norm, as a benchmark. And you will have a strong patient loyalty and better health outcomes through data-driven engagement. That's the best case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? Your tech inaccessibility widens healthcare gaps, especially in rural low literacy areas. Your digital first systems leave undeserved populations behind. But what is most likely to happen? Blended models. Your traditional care plus growing digital layers will be combined. Telehealth will expect it to grow from a $6.28 billion US dollars to $27.20 billion by 2030. A gradual adoption across diverse patient segments will happen. In most likely, and that's my complete takeaway, this adoption and this most likely would happen in the clinical care as of now. In most of the hospitals where you go for hypertension, lifestyle diseases, you know, high on diabetes, cancer, they are all starting to get into awareness, to diagnostics, to prevention, and the medication and the ongoing treatment. So that is most likely to happen. Slowly and steadily, it will come down to a lower clinical ways and then to the acute ways. But as on date, a gradual adoption is happening across driver patient segments. What will be the strategic path? It will be 3 levels of maturity markets. What you have to do is you have to align vents to market readiness to ensure accessibility and avoid widening care gaps. Now, what you have to understand is when you say high maturity market, so there you can build an end-to-end digital ecosystem, predictive analysis and precision marketing. Because it's a high maturity market, the money is there, people are willing to spend that kind of money for a consultation. The mid-maturity markets are where it will be more of an hybrid care. So telehealth will be in one option, or EMRs and a targeted patient outreach. The low maturity markets may prioritize mobile first solution or medical or mobility van kind of a partnership or a community partnership or a digital literacy. So you might have to go for a digital literacy first on how to do and then move forward. So this would be a strategic path for the 2030. Your marketing plan would be very different for high maturity markets. Your marketing plan would be very different for mid maturity markets, and your marketing plan would be very different for low maturity markets. But what you have to keep in mind that you have to align the investments to market readiness. So if my investment is, let's say, suppose it's an example, it's let's say a 3 crore is an investment to market readiness. To ensure accessibility, you might invest 60% in the high maturity market, 30% at the mid maturity market, and 10% at the low maturity market. That might be your initial ballpark figure. But as you grow, as you garner all these things together, maybe going down the line, it can have a equal connotations throughout. Let's see what happens. Now, as I said, from a strategic path connotations, let me end with a cue and the connotations of what we did in these 9 chapters. The first and foremost thing is that you will have to think about patient-centric expectations. The second learning of this 9 chapters will get into an ability to access control for different buckets, different budgets. You will use AI for predictive analytics so that you have the core from prevention to cure. And most importantly, you'll be clubbing the traditional marketing with the digital marketing, with the AI-based marketing, so that you can create a robust, you can create a magnificent outcome for a patient expectation. And remember, guys, end of the day, if the patient thinks they are satisfied, your brand is building. Thank you. Wish you all the best for your future.